Welcome to the Round 4 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined back with FB Donkey. Welcome back onto the show, mate.
I could have picked a better week to come back, mate. Rocky, Fife, Dusty, not in a good Supercoach mood.
We're going to try and exude some positivity, and hopefully our second guest is going to bring some of that to the table. Faz, welcome back for the first regular season show. You did join us for a preseason ep, so you've been on before. How's your team going?
G'day, lads. I thought it was a good week to be back, Mark. We've got an Essendon win. They're pretty few and far between these days.
There we go. Pick up on this positivity, mate.
The weekend started with Essendon winning, Liverpool winning, so I was pretty stoked. And someone made a joke to me on Twitter that, oh, Rocky hasn't played yet. Don't get too excited. And yeah, I didn't realize it was going to go so far south.
All right, let's start with a personal update then. For our listeners who are not subscribed to our Patreon, they haven't heard your voice for a couple of weeks now, Mark, and that's just due to time commitments. It's a lot easier for you to do the Patreon show. So why don't you catch everybody up with how you're sitting? We have given out the occasional update, which I'm sure you know because you must listen to us even when you're not on the show, Mark. But How are you going?
Just those Patreon podcasts have been really fun. I think we've had some pretty good feedback on those. So if you're not a member of Patreon, sign up because we will be trying to release those shows for most of the rest of the year, I think. And my team was ahead of you last week. I sat at about 16,000 for the first two rounds. Had a really tricky round this week with crap rookie scores on field. Dusty, I didn't get a chance to trade him out. I had Fife concussion out, Rocky concussion out. Traded Mills for Brody Smith, which cost me like 50 points. It was just no Libba, no Lockie Neal, no Constable. Really surprised it didn't go way worse for me this week. Yeah, I did okay considering all those things.
Yeah, I thought I'd be beating you by a fair bit, but then when I looked at the final margin, I was like, I'll go next because I think Faz top scored out of all of us. So I'll leave him to glorious last. I scored 22.64 for the week, which I was actually a little bit disappointed about. I had Fife going down for me as well, which is a little bit painful. And Martin had an absolute stinker, so that didn't help as well. Rookie choices didn't go too badly. Constable Walsh on field. I managed to keep Parker on and Setterfield and Bolter off. But yeah, the Martin, I guess Oliver didn't do that amazing as well. Fife. No Neil. Dunkley was pretty average. Meant that I didn't quite do too well, but 22.64 is okay. I still moved upwards, I think. So about 2,000 spots into 17,000. Faz, you'd be the cheeriest of us all. How'd you go?
Yeah, pretty good week for me. Got 22.94, so just shy of the 2,300 club. So my overall ranking's not doing as well as the two of you. I had a pretty slow start to the year. Was out at 70,000 round one, brought that into 37,000 round two, and I'm now at 23,000 after last week's score.
Still beating me, mate.
Oh, okay, there we go. Even cheerier. Some of my unique players, I know it's a bit of a furphy to call them unique, given a bit of groupthink probably amongst our community, but some of my more unique players in Zach Merritt with 120, Billings 108, Matt Crouch 119, did pretty well this weekend. Did do the double trade, which overall cost me 70 points, I've calculated. After listening to last week's podcast, I think I've got a bone to pick with you, Marcus, and Bryce and CJ. I went Heaney to Kelly and Mills to Brody Smith. So 70 points lost all up there. I've left Constable on the bench, so that hasn't been ideal.
That's crazy.
I think I might rectify that going forward and actually bring this.
You know what's going to happen now, mate.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I've put the curse on, but everyone else will have him on field as well at least. So that's not too bad. So overall, pretty happy with this week and looking forward to getting to this week's show. I guess we've got the update for the group first of all.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to that, I didn't actually go with any trades last week, which meant that I'm still stuck with Dusty Martin, which I'm definitely going to look to rectify this week. 1 week late and 40K down, unfortunately. But Mark, what did you do trades-wise?
Mills to Smith, and I figured that I should correct a non-playing rookie. So I traded Hoare to Scrimshaw. And in hindsight, that should have been like Dusty to Bont or something.
All right.
I just I would have liked to have not traded Mills to Smith either. I felt a bit gross about that.
Well, still time for that to turn back around in your favor, net a bit of cash at least with that downgrade. I know Faz is probably hoping for the same thing. And Faz, if it makes you feel any better, I'm pretty sure CJ traded Heaney and Mills out as well. So.
He did, yes. He didn't. He did a better trade in though. I think he went Nick Newman.
Nick Newman scored 60-something as well, okay. So it wasn't great.
Yeah,
he got heaps of the ball, just could not gig it for very well.
All right, a quick group update. Our public Supercoach coach group is led currently by Luke's Such as Fife with his score of 24.91, pushing him up into the top 100 at 67th. And our Patreon group, a massive shout out to Darren's team, Aussie Divers Phuket. He scored 25.27, which is huge. That means that he's now leading our 100 buck top scoring round for the year. And he's also in the lead for the $250 group prize. He's sitting at 36th at the moment. So massive score from Darren and currently in the lead for both our Patreon group prizes. Don't forget, if you want to get involved in our Patreon group, just sign up. You'll get access to exclusive content and go into the running for a $250 group prize at the end of the year or $100 if you have the highest scoring round by the end of 2019. Now, let's get into some questions. The first one here is from Ben Hobbs from Facebook, and he's asking about trade options for Dusty. So Dusty's been slapped with a two-match suspension at the moment. As of recording, they haven't confirmed whether or not they're going to dispute it. But Mark, what are your initial thoughts? Are you leaning toward trading him out? I know I have the trade finger itchy and ready to go.
I was trading him out before he got suspended.
Yeah, the 60 was pretty awful. Tagged again.
Yeah, and just the way that he handled it and the fact that Richmond look like they're in a bit of trouble with injuries and how that's going to factor into their season. Like, I think that he needs sort of Richmond pumping and like maybe even Cochin going really well to take a bit of pressure off Dusty. So, yeah, he's definitely gone, mate. Luckily, I have a little bit of cash, only 70,000, so I can get up to anyone up to 590,000. So, yeah, definitely trading.
So is that Neil's in reach?
No, Neil's at 646 already. Ooh, he's still well out of reach there.
Yeah, well, so I need to double trade for that.
I have 8,700, so I can pretty much only go down, which is a little bit annoying. Who are your top options at the moment, Mark? Are you thinking of trading for another midfielder, or are you going to use this as an opportunity to restructure and perhaps get another midfield rookie on field?
To be honest, if Callie didn't get injured in the last 10 minutes of that game, he would be right up there as a candidate. But I think it's pretty hard to trade someone in that's injured themselves the week before. So, yeah, probably looking at a mid. And I guess realistically, Liver's got to be coming into consideration for that with back-to-back 130-plus scores. Looked amazing on the weekend. It wasn't just that he scored well. He looked really, really good.
I want to keep him as a POD, mate. Come on.
Off, mate. I was on Liver 12 months before you.
Just the bloke who didn't start him.
Yeah, if I didn't get so bloody burnt from him last year. So I guess he's in consideration. And the other one is I've been pretty keen on the Bont, but he also seemed to pick up an injury late in that game. So if he hadn't have been injured late in that game, I think he would be 100% the one. Just not sure what's going on there.
Faz, thoughts on Dusty? You don't have him, fortunately.
So not a problem I have to deal with personally. I think that if you don't have much cash in the bank, I don't see many good options around Dusty's price himself. I think that the downgrade to Libba, I like that move. Obviously, it doesn't work if you're in your situation, Marcus, where you already have Libba in your team. So in those circumstances, I don't mind the restructure of trying to get another on-field rookie. I think most people would have but probably both of Dersma and Setterfield in their team. So you have the option of both backline and forward line if you want to swing one of those guys into the midfield and then trade Dusty out to a defender or forward line premium. I think that you're going to find a bit better value at that sort of 520 mark that Dusty Martin's currently priced at in the defenders or in the forward line. I think that in the midfield, as I think you touched on last week in the show, it really is the land of the giants in there, that the guys that you've got in the midfield are going to be scoring so 110, 115 type averages, and it's pretty hard to find somebody at that price that can average that score. You can get a bit more value in either the back line or the forwards.
Is it crazy to consider Tom Rockliffe? He only went up 23K with his 36.
Realistically, it probably is, to be honest, after Just the concussion, you don't know how he's going to be. He actually wasn't scoring very well before the concussion with Wines back in his first game. So I think that there's enough question marks that I'd be struggling a bit to go for him. I think, I mean, even Crouch or I'd probably have Crouch ahead of Sheed, but Crouch or Sheed would be ahead of Rocky at this stage as targets.
Yeah, at this stage, I'm most likely to pivot him out into the forward line. And even though Kelly got injured, if he's named this week, I'd be fairly tempted to go to him because he's 5'17", and Kelly was already on a pretty good score before he got injured. So he was on track for sort of a 130 type score if he stayed on park. Didn't sound like too serious an injury, a bit of an ankle tweak, I think, but I think there's a decent chance to come back this week.
Might just float another option out there, and I think this might be a nice little segue to our next question, but thoughts on Travis Boak as a, as another option in the forward line? I think we have a question about him, is that right?
Yeah, Lee Clark from Facebook did ask about him and whether or not we thought he would stay as a top six forward. What do you reckon about him, Mark?
Big fan of Boak. I think that the thing that's probably most appealing about Boak is actually his durability. He hasn't missed a game for quite a while, and he played really well with Wines back in the team. So, yeah, I think that Boak's a ripping selection. Should hang out for the year. I don't think he's going to average 110, 120, which he's sort of on track to at the moment, but around that 100 mark looks pretty likely.
And I think at his current price, you'd be pretty happy with that, wouldn't you? As you said, Mark, I think 2012 I've just seen as the last year where he played less than 21 games. So durability, pretty consistent scorer. If he keeps that role in the midfield, I think it's a pretty great pick.
Boak over Kelly?
That it's all injury dependent, and there's so many. Like Kelly over Boak without the injury, I think. I don't know, mate. You're a Cats man. Maybe you're probably a bit too optimistic, but like, I know the Cats were in front by a bit, but he didn't come on in the last 15 minutes, and they said that he could have come back on. But it's only an ankle. Players recover from ankles, but ankle could hold him back for the next 3 or 4 weeks. I'm not sure. His role's awesome. It's only the injury that has any doubt in my mind.
Would you consider a backline player ahead of a forward line player?
No. Unless it's Lloyd or Whitfield, no.
All right, I think I like that advice, and they're both within sort of the price point. So it sucks that I gave up like 80K if I traded to Boak last week, but such is life, I suppose.
I think one of the issues is I don't have the buyers in front of me, but Kelly, Danger, and Heaney are all on the same buy, I think, which could cause some issues around later in the season.
Whereas Boak's a little bit earlier, isn't he? Yeah, I think Boak's around 12 buy, so he's the first one, so he's definitely a little bit more attractive from the buyer's point of view, Mark. All right, next question. This one's from Adam Buckers. Do we have to get Neil at all costs? Now, did we underrate him a little bit in the preseason, Mark?
Yeah, I think I was a bit dismissive, like going to a new club, too unsure of his role. Yeah, definitely too dismissive of Neil, for sure. Didn't expect him to go this nuts. I think he'll normalize a little bit. Like, I don't think he's going to go at 130 plus for the year, but and I don't think Brisbane's going to finish top of the ladder either, but you'd be very, very happy if you started him.
Would you trade aggressively toward him? Like, should I be trading into him from Martin, doing a double trade?
It depends what the other side of that trade is, mate. I don't think you'd be moving like heaven and earth to get him. I'm not even 100% convinced that I'd pick him over McRae. Just watching McRae on the weekend, like, he really struggled at the start of that game, but still pulled out a 120 plus. And when players start doing that, then you know that they're going to be posting that really big average. And I guess the other part of it is that McRae is super unlikely to get tagged with the other players in that team, whereas Neil's only competing with Zorko for the tag, and you'd think that next week or next couple of weeks that tag will start coming for Neil.
Faz, what are your thoughts on Neil, mate? You don't have him either, do you?
Don't have him, and seriously considering how I can get him into the team. I guess my fear with him, and McRae's sort of already in this camp, is that it's almost too expensive to get into your team at a certain point. McRae's sort of he's almost 700,000. He's 686,000 right now. Right now, Lockie Neil is at 646. So that $50,000 difference, $40,000 difference, is fairly significant, I think, that if there is a way that you can get him in this early before he gets up to the sort of $700,000 bracket. I found that last year. I sort of jumped on McRae pretty early, and he seemed to be a POD in my team for quite a while just because it was very difficult for anybody else to generate enough cash to catch McRae. He sort of stayed at that $700,000 mark, and I might be sort of overestimating what Neil can actually do with his scoring, but put in some pretty good years there at Freo. Potentially lost some scoring with Fife in the team, and now he seems to be the the bona fide number one midfielder at his club. So I think that there is some merit in that move of trying to get Neil into the team. It's just obviously a question of how you can actually go about doing that.
Yeah. I missed 2 games in 5 years. So, yeah, if you got him, you'd be pretty stoked. I know a lot of people, like our mate Hawker, Marcus, brought in Neil and Libba this week.
Well, I think the tough part is after round four, we've had one price movement. So if you didn't bring him in last week and you presumably fixed your biggest issues, you're looking at pretty suboptimal, like, couple of trades in order to manufacture a situation where you can bring him in. You need to be absolutely certain that he's not just going to be 115 averaging midfielder, but he's going to be like a ball breaking midfielder if you don't have him, like 130 plus, at least for, you know, the first half of the year or for the next 6 rounds in order to really be worth that sort of maneuvering. At some stage, you got to take the punt that, you know, maybe he gets concussed and you get a bit of a lucky break from that regard. Some of Supercoach is holding your nerve, but acknowledging that certain times you're better off moving on the bloke as well. Yeah, I'm going to struggle to bring in Neil. I would struggle to find a situation where you could easily maneuver him in. If you had lots of money left in bank and you could side swap to him, then maybe you'd consider it, but there'd be few people in that sort of situation. All right, next question from at CryptoniteSC. The question this round is, if you still have 30 trades and you're short on cash, do you use an extra trade to get in a Lockie Neal type if you're looking to move on a Dusty Martin? Thoughts on that?
So that'd be doing a downgrade somewhere else, I guess, to get the cash for Dusty. That one seems difficult to me. I think that's going to be a fairly suboptimal downgrade. None of the rookies are even sort of close to hitting their ceiling with price. And then it's looking at doing some sort of downgrade from a premium to a mid-pricer or something like that. If you had two Dustin Martins in your team, one to Libba, one up to Neil, might be the sort of play. But I think we mentioned you mentioned on the show last week that there really weren't many guys in the midfield that people have picked that are in that position where you actually have to fix them and trade them out. So I'm struggling to see, is there anyone you can sort of, off the top of your head, identify that would fit the category to pair with Martin?
Not really. People are talking about trading Fife out, I suppose.
Yeah, if you went like Fife to Libba or something like that, or even like Dusty to Sheed, you could probably go Fife to Neil. So there would be some combos out there that might happen.
I mean, as a principal, Mark, what are your thoughts about sort of double trading again in round four?
Well, it depends whether you've already traded or not. It's hard. Like, to be honest, I think that it's a game where if you are doing well, it's a lot easier to make clearer decisions. Where if you've maybe had a really rough week, like I have, you get this desperation feeling and you want to fix it somehow. And you think that trading's the way to fix it. Whereas sometimes just like you said, holding the nerve is actually your best strategy. And it's really hard to do. But realistically, that's probably the best strategy, is to hold your nerve as often as possible.
All right, next question. This one's from Billy on Facebook. Has he missed the Libba train? Now, you've already talked about him potentially being a trade-in for Dusty Martin. He has gone up about 70K, but at 380 and having averaged 118 so far, he's not the worst option. If you have Martin, he certainly seems like a strong candidate. What do you reckon, Mark? Are there any other situations where you might consider trading Libba in?
Not really, no. Like, I guess if the news on Rockcliffe was really bad, you would consider it, but I can't imagine too many situations where you'd be chasing Libba. Look, I don't expect him to keep posting these massive scores every week, but he's 375 is still a good bring-in. I guess I'm just hoping that he can get towards premium status at that price.
I think it's tough. He has had premium scoring in his history, but that was, you know, a number of years ago now. So I guess, and he's young enough that he could return to those scores. So I quite like it as an option for Dusty Martin. But I think if everything else is looking pretty good in your team, I'm not sure that I'd be moving heaven and earth and trading out one of the premiums that you started the year with and swapping them. Maybe the only option I can see is if there was a way that you could sort of swing a Brody Smith type into the midfield. I know that I started the year with Dersma in my midfield, so if anyone was in that boat that had Dersma in the mids, Smith isn't looking fantastic, so that if there's another mid-pricer somewhere else, but I don't think, you know, Dom Sheed's been scoring very well, so has Brad Crouch. You know, I think the prognosis on Rockcliffe is that he should be right to play this week. None of those guys seem like players that I'd want to be trading to Liberatore.
Yeah, and just keep in mind there will be bargain opportunities that come up over the course of the year. So at the start of the season, we haven't had a lot of price movements yet. So any cheap option continues to look good, but you're only behind people who have already picked Libba. So you need to be fairly confident in his ability to almost, as Mark mentioned, like stay a premium from this point out at 380 versus at 300, you're more willing to trade him in with the outlook of potentially having to trade him back out. You look at Tom McDonald, he scored 26 on the weekend. He's dropped 80K. He was averaging full premium numbers last year. You got Buddy off a limited preseason. He's dropped 55K in 1 week. Cade Simpson, he's dropped 50K already. Given another 2-3 weeks, there'll be sort of other bargain options available. Justin Westhoff just scored 39 after starting round one with a bang. He's going to drop even more. So you don't have to be too impatient in terms of trading right now. You can sort of let it wait a little bit more and pick up the right opportunities when they present themselves throughout the rest of the season. All right, next one, just running through some other of the injured or suspended players. Apparently, Robbie Gray and Tom Rockliffe are pretty good chances of playing this week, so you wouldn't assume that they need a trade. And Tim Kelly's in a fairly similar boat, considering they said that he could have played potentially if they needed him to at the end of last week after he tweaked the ankle. Now, Nat Five is one that we already touched on. There are quite a few people considering a Five to Neil type move. Five seemed like a pretty damn good pick at the start of the week. It's pretty surprising to me how quickly some people are jumping off. Am I being too conservative, Mark, or do you see some merit into making that trade?
I think there's a fair few uncertainties involved. He'd had 23 touches for his 68, which is crazy. And he was on track to still probably post 100 for the course of the game. He's looked awesome the first 2 weeks. I guess that's just Fife. Like, you just never know. Concussions can affect people for a few weeks after they get them. Like, they can struggle to post decent scores. I don't know whether that's going to happen to Fifey. So, look, I can understand why some people would. It's not really a consideration for me. It's a very, very aggressive move.
So I don't think I would do it myself, but to sort of add a little bit on the other side of the argument, if Fife does miss this week against West Coast, which is looking fairly likely with a short turnaround, his first game back is against GWS up in Sydney, and De Boer has it's only been 3 games, but he's racked up a reasonably impressive track record in his tagging so far this year. So he's got scalps of Zach Merritt, Elliot Yeo and Dusty Martin this week. So all three, usually pretty high scorers, and they've each had a pretty down week the week that they played GWS. So if he was to have a poor score against GWS, added in with a 63 in the price cycle, his price could drop a bit, but I don't see it going down enough that it really makes it worth your while trading Fife out. It just seems like you'd be trying to do too much there. And another factor, I guess, is that we've all been sort of trying to see how we can wrangle our teams to get more midfield rookies onto the field. If you've got a guy like Constable or Butters sitting on the bench, that's pretty good cover just for the 1 week that Fife might be out.
Yeah, I'm keeping Fife. I think there are a lot of people tempted by Neil at the moment, primarily driving this conversation. I think outside of looking for a really sort of shiny player that's able to deliver the big stats, you'd be very wary of doing a sort of a downgrade or sideways swap without pairing that with another trade as well. Now, we're going to move to the overrated versus underrated part of the show now. And the first guy that we have on the run sheets, a question from Shane Jeeves from Facebook asking about Connor Rozee. He scored 123. People are talking about him sort of in Brownlow terms already. Kicked 5 goals. Mark, we all sort of said that at that price point, weren't going to touch him. But with his step forward flexibility as well, I'm definitely very, very jealous at the moment. I don't think I'm jealous enough to trade him into my side at 260K though. What are your thoughts about him as a trade-in target, overrated or underrated?
Look, happy to have skipped him in the preseason just because the risk, the fail factor for someone at his price is very, very high, but he looked amazing on the weekend. So I don't know, underrated?
Unfortunately, I was on an aeroplane for the entirety of the Brisbane Lions Port Adelaide game this week, so I missed Rosie's Brownlow winning performance with the five goals, which is damn impressive. You don't see many, you know, even first year players at all having that sort of impact on a game. So I think that just overall we must have underrated him because he's not in. I think he's in 24% of teams. A lot of the other rookies seem to be in, you know, 99% of teams. So underrated for me on Rosie.
Yeah, underrated in the preseason for sure, but I think overrated as a trade-in target. A few people were saying that his 116 is going to stay in his price movements for two more weeks, but realistically, if he keeps his current average up of 89, the 2 weeks will net you about 109K, but you're going to have to trade him in and then trade him out to get that. So I don't think it's quite enough unless you saw him getting up to, you know, the 450, 500K mark and you saw a rookie that you didn't quite like. So a pass as an upgrade target, but I think we definitely underrated him. The next one is from Adam, one of our patrons, asking about Josh Dunkley. Mark, overrated or underrated?
Overrated.
That hurts. Faz?
Is he in your team, Mark, Dunkley?
No.
Okay, so I have him as underrated because I've actually been pretty happy to see him start the year scoring a bit lightly like this because to me he's looking like a pretty nice upgrade target for down the track. I think he'll get a few more midfield minutes later in the year, so pretty happy to see him with a few smaller scores to start the year. Hopefully, you know, that price drops a little bit more and he can come into my team a bit later down the year.
Yeah, I think he's appropriately rated. Like, his average 85 across the first three rounds, but his center bounce attendances did drop between rounds two and rounds three. And the fact that Libber, Bont are absolutely killing it along with McRae has me a little bit worried about his point scoring. I still think he'll come good. And at the price point, like, you know, he's only really dropped a little bit. He averaged 90-ish last year, so it's not going too badly. So appropriately rated for me, but a little bit nervous moving forward with him. Next one, Trevor, another one of our patrons, about Luke Dalhouse. Mark, we did talk about him in the Patreon podcast last week, and we were sort of saying that his role is not too attractive because he is playing as that small forward, but then he knocked out another 100. Are we underrating him, mate?
Maybe. If Geelong keep winning like that, then he could average a decent amount over the course of the season. I think, what is he, gone up to 460 now or something? So, look, he's doing really well. He's getting some tackles. He's playing really well. Probably underrated him a bit in the preseason.
I think if there's talk of trading him in, I'd go with overrated for Dalhouse. I think it's a role that's probably not going to produce good scoring for an entire season. So, Geelong have started the year with a bang. He's managed to be fairly impactful in each of those games. But the fact that he's looks like that might be sort of around what his ceiling is at the 105 is sort of what he scored in just about each of his games. I think that there will be low scores coming in as well. So if you add a few 60s in there as well, I think his average is sort of more at the sort of 85 to 90 sort of range. I wouldn't be looking at him as a trade-in option.
Underrated in the preseason, overrated as a trade-in target. All right, next section, the captaincy options to wrap up the show. Have either of you gents had a little bit of a squint at who you might go with this week?
Yeah, I reckon Grundy into Cripps is pretty obvious this week.
Dangerfield, not taking your fancy, Mark?
Who's he playing?
Playing GWS, and the last four against GWS, 108, 163, 196, and 124. And I think about four games prior to that, he had another 190. So Danger scored 190 twice against the Giants.
That's pretty good. I think that Martin had a pretty good record against the Giants going into last week as well, though.
Yep. I did recommend him as a potential option as a captaincy.
I just think Grundy against the Western Bulldogs without a ruckman and Cripps against the Gold Coast Suns, who seem to be giving up points to midfielders.
Grundy's last game against the Bulldogs, he scored a 152. And Cripps' last game against the Gold Coast, he scored a 173. So actually Grundy, Cripps and Danger are my top three options for the week. If I could chuck in another couple of sneaky ones, it'd be Lachie Neale. He's in ripper form.
I think the Bombers have not used a tagger so far this year. One of the few teams not to do that. So I think this week Neale might get off the chain a bit again. Although Bombers have been able to contain the midfield scoring a little bit, except for Cornelio in round one.
And then Matty Crouch might be all right as well. His last three against North Melbourne, 144, 97 and 131. And he's been pretty consistent so far this year. So he plays late in the round. He's a captaincy backup option that I think is pretty sound. All right. And with that, I think we'll wrap up this week's show. Mark, great to have you on for a normal podcast again. I'm sure the listeners missed you.
I'm sure they did.
That's what you've got for them.
And to somebody a bit more humble, Faz, anything to sign off with, mate?
I just might mention Mark's open 15 tonight in his basketball game just to try and bring him back down.
Fuck, man. Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. We did win.
A lot of assists and boards, I'm sure, though. It still contributed.
Yeah.
We're going to record a bit of a Patreon bonus, Faz and I, after this. So don't forget, if you want to get some Patreon exclusives or get involved in our Patreon group prize, sign up patreon.com/supercoachcoach. And with that, we'll sign off for the week. See ya.
See ya.